Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. It's Tuesday, and you know what that means, and you know what time it is like to watch this. It's time once again for your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. I go by the name of the HOC, Eddie Cool, the head of creative here at the Sports Bros Podcast. And to let you guys know, I've been taking some notes like Jerry Jones, you know, make sure everything is, making sure I can read everything. And, you know, some say it might look like scribble scratch, but I'm taking notes like the legendary Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. With that being said, I got two of the best co-hosts in the world because I can't do this by myself. Introducing first, the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? I'm going to go ahead and get a couple things out of the way real quick. Since Scotty D's already stealing, I'm going to steal some from him. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. So we're going to go ahead and put the video out there, hopefully, if I get my life together, because there are two people on this podcast right now that's wearing orange, and one of them just doesn't belong because he's French again. Here we go with this "who is we?" Now he's a Clemson Tiger fan again, and he pulls out that I you know what? I'm going to be all right. On a second note, before we start, though, I would be remiss if I didn't start off by thoughts and prayers, because we've had a tragedy befallen our communities this past weekend, to the Greenville Malden community and to the North Myrtle Beach community. We lost a loved one, one of my classmates. I've known her for 37 years. Prayers and thoughts to Mary Ellen Besant and to the Besant family, to her children, Mary Catherine and Jack. We as a community, we're going to come together and make sure that those kids are taken care of. And so I will send a link to, there'll be a link to this episode to a GoFundMe for her. For her children, I want to go ahead and get that out of the way because she is the biggest. She was the biggest Clemson fan that I knew. I'm thankful that the community has come together to make sure that the kids are taken care of, and every little bit helps. And so, my thoughts and my prayers to the Besson family, to all those that were affected this weekend. Rest in peace, rest in heaven, Mary Ellen. We will forever love you. You will forever be missed.
All right, well said. She was a great girl.
Yep. Thoughts and prayers definitely go out to the family, man. It's tragic that you got to find out news the way we find it out. But yeah, man, still in disbelief myself. I'm pretty sure as the both communities are. So thoughts and prayers go out to both communities and all the families that were involved in this unfortunate incident. And as B-Live mentioned, we will have the link to the GoFundMe fund in the description box right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. So thoughts and prayers out to the Besson family and everybody that's been impacted by this tragedy as well, too. All right. And with that being said, we have the other guy. He is the pride of Washington, Pennsylvania. Scotty D.
The pride of nothing.
I'm not going to say.
You keep announcing them that way. I ain't proud of nothing.
Well, they're playing basketball. Yep. We love that basketball.
The money man, Scotty Cum Laude, Scotty D.
It's the best time of year. And this year's tournament is not disappointing. Not a lot of buzzer beaters, one that I can remember off the top of my head, but some close games. And for the most part, you know, you always have the upsets of March Madness. For the most part, the teams that are supposed to win are winning. So, Eddie Cool, let's get into this stuff, huh? There's a lot to talk about from the last, at least the last several days, basketball-wise, in the March Madness tournament.
It's March, and it is here. So, with that being said, let's hop right into it, the top of the order.
All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order.
As Scotty D mentioned, there's been a whole lot going on in the world of college basketball on the men's and the women's side, because I got locked into a pretty good game between Virginia Tech and Baylor. And then on the men's side, upsets galore, everything happening. So spotlight moments of the tournament so far, Scotty D, what you see?
Well, a big one that stood out to me happened late night. What was it? Thursday night, Kansas and Samford, and Kansas blowing a 22-point lead to this unheralded, unknown Samford team. And with 19 seconds left in the game, Kansas seemingly broke the press, broke away for the game-sealing dunk. And what happens? AJ State and McCray comes up behind Kansas' Nick Timberlake with the block of a lifetime. A clean all-ball block.
All ball.
That got whistled for a foul. Oh! Why did you blow the whistle? You couldn't have seen a foul because there wasn't one. There was no contact, and a replay confirmed that. And I just hate that's how that game ended, because who knows? With 19 seconds left, Samford gets the ball back. They could go down and turn it over or shoot an air ball or who, God knows what else could have happened. But they also could have maybe run the clock down and down a point and scored the game-winning basket. And we'll never know, because that was a blown call, and Timberlake made both free throws. And that was Kansas would end up winning that game before moving on and getting promptly bounced by a lethargic performance against Gonzaga. And honestly, I did not think Kansas was going to go far in this tournament, just because they were kind of running on fumes. They were an injury riddled team here, but what a moment that was for that kid from Samford, that AJ Stetton McCray, to make such an incredible, memorable play. And then just to have the whistle blown. And you know what? These things happen so fast. Officials have to make calls that are spur of the moment, and they don't always get them right. And that's too bad that one happened that way. But there was a lot of moments, but just that one stuck out to me early, just because what could have been got taken away. Be Live, how about you? We watched a couple. We were commenting, texting one another while there was an exciting one, more than once. Oh. What do you got? tell us what you got here.
Well, I don't want to talk about that game, because Houston cost me $1,100.
God.
Buzzer beater, Texas A&M to take the fourth game into overtime. Thought I had a second chance for Houston to cover, and they did not. So, ladies and gentlemen, you could hear it here from your boy. Yes, I got suckered into the wave of North Carolina and legal sports betting, and I had a four-leg parlay where I covered three to four legs, but Houston just couldn't finish the job. What an outstanding game, Houston versus Texas A&M. And I saw what Texas A&M was doing late in the latter part of the season, so I had them going a little bit through and through, but I had Houston winning in my bracket. So, but it was an outstanding game to watch if I wasn't betting. So I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be all right. Because I have won a little bit of money, but at $1,100,
I would have did something.
You care to talk about any basketball other than your gambling habits?
I switched my alcohol habit to gambling habits, according to the money man. Here he go. But
I'm sure you might have had an adult beverage to wash that one down.
See, that's there you go. But no, I'm gonna also talk a little basketball as well, because one thing that stands out when it comes to college basketball and March Madness is people that we have never heard of before, or people that are not, have not really been in the limelight, that show up and show out during the tournament. Two people that come to mind that I went ahead and pulled up the stats for Scotty D because it still stands. Jack Golkey of Oakland, shooting all the three-pointers in the world. Oakland shocking the world against Kentucky. And the reason why I want to pull up his stat line is that this season, 2023-2024, Jack Golkey is 37.9% shooting free field goals, 141 made to 372 attempts. Oof. His three-point total is 137 made to 364 attempts. So, according to that stat line, Scotty D's favorite, he has shot 364 three-point attempts and a total of 8 two-point attempts.
Wow.
He's four for eight.
Eight shots from the field inside the arc.
Shoot the tray. Shoot it. And the thing about it is, I know Sky D by now, you've seen him play. These aren't just pull-up threes. These are off balance, turnaround. He is going to shoot the three regardless of what's going on.
Kind of seem like every year some 30-year-old white dude comes out and nails a bunch of threes and knocks off a top contending team and then gets eliminated after that. You never hear from him again. Every year there's some 30-year-old white guy that plays college basketball. He's like in his seventh year of eligibility and he has like the game of his life and knocks off a top blue blood team. And this year was Golkey's turn.
And just for the record, ladies and gentlemen, Oakland University is located in Wisconsin. It's not California. This is Madison, Wisconsin, where Oakland University is located.
I thought it was in Michigan.
Let me Google it. I have to.
No, because you might be right, Bilal. You might be right because wait, Belmont.
It is. It says Michigan. You're right. I thought it was Wisconsin. MIWI. Just take that W and flip it up. All right. Cool.
And ironically, that game was played in Pittsburgh, which is right at the road from where Pitt plays, which is Oakland. Pitt technically plays their home games in Oakland.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, and they actually didn't even get in the tournament this year, which is kind of another irony of that the team from Oakland didn't get to play while the team from Oakland did get to play in Pittsburgh. I don't know. Anyway.
So we can see who's Scott's actual team is. I mean, if you're looking at his shirt, you'd be confused.
C L E M S O N.
I cussed for real. I almost cussed for real. I almost cussed. I really badly almost cussed. Speaking of Clemson and our rival, also there was another standout performance from Oregon.
Here we go. We got stomped. Okay, we got our asses kicked because I said to myself, you know what, going into this game I said, all right, so you're saying there could be a chance, there might be a possibility, and then what's the guy name that used to play for us, transferred? I forgot his name because it became out of sight, out of mind real quick.
Oh, don't worry about it. I got it.
I know you do.
Jermaine Cousinard puts a 40 burger on his former team to knock out South Carolina.
The bird killer, because he knocked out what, South Carolina, and didn't they almost knock out Creighton?
Yeah,
and that was actually, to me, that's been the game of the tournament so far. That was a double overtime game, and your boy Cousinard was so gassed that he couldn't even. They were running an offense that was, you would have thought they were up by 12 points, up four with a minute to go, and he was completely gassed. He was drained, and they couldn't hold that 4-point lead with a minute to go. And then he mustered up enough energy for overtime, and then they end up losing by like 11.
Yeah.
13.
That's like 11. Yeah.
it's like 11, but you add two more to it. All right. The math isn't mathing. Kuznard has 32 points in that game, but as Scotty said, it takes a lot of energy to play this many games in this short of time.
I asked the Oregon was the better team of those two. I had them beating Creighton. I thought they were the better team, and it didn't work out that way. Creighton as a 3-seed advances.
Yeah, Creighton, they always come in tough in the tournament. But, fellas, I'm going to go to the women's side of the tournament yesterday, and I had the absolute pleasure of watching Baylor versus Virginia Tech. Here's what I don't understand. Why is it in the women's game, the women's tournament, why is there like a team that is supposed to be played at a neutral site, but they were playing in Blacksburg, Virginia yesterday? And I was like, ain't that where the University of Virginia Tech is? They get some home games. I don't understand it. It's beyond me. But it didn't matter because Baylor pulled out the 72-75 win over the Lady Hokies. And when I say these girls played a game, Jada Walker had like 26 points. There was a questionable foul called in the early portion of the game where Walker and I think it was A-Good. Whatever the girl's name was from Virginia Tech. They were on the floor going for a loose ball, and she was turned away from her. And Parker was reaching for the ball, and they called foul. And the Baylor coach was like losing her mind, understandably. So I'm like, hey, when you're in a situation where you both are on the floor, doesn't that result into a jump ball? I thought it did, because we were watching the game. I'm like, that's jump ball, and like she didn't touch it. She just went for the ball, and the refs were like, jump ball. And yeah, there were some questionable calls during that game, but nevertheless, Baylor wound up pulling it out, and they're going to the Sweet 16. Also, on the women's side of things, my Lady Gamecocks, they handle business. They take care of a little sister up north, North Carolina. You want some tool, man, though. They wind up whacking them, too. They get Carmilla Cardoso back. You know, it didn't matter anyway if she would have played or not, but we wind up waxing them as well, too. So, fellas, I know y'all been watching a lot of men's tournament, but his women's tournament has been excited too. We've also had the emergence of another star out of Iowa, a young lady by the name of Audi Crooks, who in not last night's game, because Iowa State lost to Stanford, Audi Crooks had 40 points. I think 40 points and 12 rebounds. Yeah, so she's a force to be reckoned with. And if this current crop of stars leave in the women's game, there's another pipeline of stars coming soon. So the women's game is fun to watch. But as B-Live mentioned, Houston cost you some money. And Scott was like, hey, I'm in a chokehold with this Houston and who did Houston play? With this Houston, Texas.
Texas A&M.
Because there was a point in time where Houston got real lazy, real lax. I'm like, all right, they're going to come back and bite you in the ass. Because I watched Texas A&M through the SEC tournament. I'm like, they got fight in them. They got fight in them, and they're going to give people problems. So,
on this show, I picked Florida to go to the Final Four in that bracket. That was the one bracket I couldn't make a decision on. Mm. After I did a little bit more research, I did one for one of my classes. And I had A&M going to the Final Four out of that bracket. I had them beating Houston based on the fact they played Houston earlier in the year. They lost them by 4 points and were missing two starters. So that game was an outstanding game, a seesaw game back and forth. What's notable to me, though, is that all of the ones and all of the twos have advanced so far into the Sweet 16. And you don't get that every year. Like, you often get a Purdue losing to Fairleigh Dickinson in the opening round, or you get a two gets knocked off somewhere in the first or second round. And that didn't happen. So a lot of the big names are advancing. And I know we didn't really plan this as a discussion, but if you guys look at the schedule coming up this week, is there a particular matchup that you're excited to take a look at? Well, B-Live, your eyes lit up when I asked that question. You got one?
No. Well, the thing about it was that for the, I love it when me and Scotty D are on the same page. So I was thinking the exact same thing, the matchups that are coming up, because you got Houston versus Duke. That's going to be huge. And
Duke's speaking playing on, well, that's very interesting to me at this point.
Oh, yeah. And it's on a point that Scotty D made. Out of the 16 teams that are in, there's only one double-digit seed, and that's NC State. Only,
right.
We usually have a couple. We usually have probably two or three, but there's only one double-digit seed. And I'm also throwing this out here real quick while I got everyone's attention. For my listeners, I want you to come in closer. For all the media pundits, all the sports analysts out there, your ESPNs, your Fox Sports, every single one of y'all that talk trash about the ACC and how weak the conference was this year, and they didn't have it. Look what we have here. 25% of the teams that are in the Sweet 16 are from the ACC.
And there would have been more if they'd have let Pitt in the tournament, like they rightfully should have been. There would have been one more team.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We talked about this before. NC State took Pitt's spot.
And NC State is an 11. It doesn't even really feel like a classic double-digit seed team because they just won the ACC championship. So it's just shows you right now the teams that are in this tournament that are remaining – These are the best teams right now.
Oh, absolutely. And then I'm just mentioning a couple games. Purdue Gonzaga. I feel like that is going to be a slobber knocker. I'm looking forward to that one. Creighton Tennessee is going. It honestly, I don't see a bad game on here. I think the only one that. UConn, San Diego State, but San Diego State, didn't they just make the Final Four last year?
Was it last year?
Yeah, they were in the champ. They were in the champ last year. They were in the
championship game. Yeah.
Lost losing to UConn. Yeah.
Whoa! I forgot about that.
Yep. Rematch. We got some rematch.
The stuff on a rematch. I was like, oh, this is hot.
Yeah.
There's not a bad game on here.
Nope.
There's not one. And the way NC State is playing, NC State Marquette, Illinois, Iowa State, North Carolina, Alabama, Clemson, Arizona. There's not a bad game on here. I don't think there's one bad game.
None that I would consider if the lower seed wins would be a huge upset. Other than, actually, I would consider San Diego State beating UConn an upset. But everything else on here, I could easily see either team winning this game. I look forward to seeing how Alabama and North Carolina stack up against each other. That's Thursday, the late game Thursday night.
That's what I was looking at too, Scotty.
Heck of a game, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Okay,
why in the entire hell is the start time at 9:39? Why is it so late? Got work in the morning.
Illinois and Iowa State start half an hour after that one.
Is it? Wait a minute. Is that 9:39? Is that out west?
That is Eastern time.
Well, it's Eastern time, but it's probably the game is played out west.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, it's a west regional game, but in our time, it starts at 9:39.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, these games are going
to get 10:09.
Yeah, we got Illinois and Iowa State. And let me see.
It's saying that the Iowa State-Illinois game is played at the TD Garden in Boston. That's what it sounds like. Okay, yeah, that's the
yeah. It is.
Hey, just come on now, y'all. Yeah, all these
regions, they don't make no sense.
Come on, NCAA, do better. Great day.
They don't. It just don't make no sense. I'm like, hey, how about take all the teams that's closer to this side of the country, put them over here. All the teams that's closer to that side of the country, and put them over there, and have a meeting in what's the middle of the country, Nebraska or Kansas or something like that. Have everybody migrate towards the middle. I'm just saying.
Healing me right now, man. Yeah, I'm just saying.
All right, so that's our talk for college basketball. A very spirited tournament. What I can say, both tournaments, the men's and the women's, are very highly competitive, are very fast and furious. And I even caught myself watching, what I watched the girls? Was it UCLA and California Baptist University, and then that got a little competitive, and then UCLA just whoop, just throttled it to them, and then that was it. All right, so baseball season coming up. We're going to have a baseball preview coming up really, really soon. But let's talk about the hot topic that's not going on the diamond. Shohei Ohtani gambling, interpreter stealing. What is it, $4 million? Like, what the hell is going on, fellas? What can we make of this? Is this a classic case of passing the buck? Does somebody have a gambling habit? What say y'all?
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I will admit that I haven't been following the story as much as I should have, because I dismissed it as, you know, it was going to be a pepper point. Then it ended up being a lot more than a pepper point. But I was just like, what's really going on? And then it became more and more. The interpreter got fired. And then it looks like the interpreter should not have all this money to be making all these bets that Shohei is covering. Why you lying? Stop lying. Because the more the story comes out, the more it looks like it's in Ohtani's hands, because who's the money? Well, how they say it in the movies? Follow the money?
Yeah, follow the money.
I think that was Rush Hour. Follow the money? Yeah. There's always...
By the time this show comes out, Ohtani will have already spoken. He's scheduled to talk to the media at some point today. We're recording Monday morning. He's supposed to talk to the media, talk to reporters. Unfortunately, nobody's going to know what he said, because there's a job opening in the interpreter position in the Ohtani camp right now. So I don't know. We're going to be able to find out what exactly he's saying.
That joke wrote itself, because I thought the same exact thing.
Yeah, it is.
If he didn't say it, I was going to say it.
I mean, I'm with you, B-Live. I didn't pay this story a whole lot of attention at first, because it just sounded like the interpreter did something wrong. But then as you start hearing more and more, it's like, this doesn't sound right for this dude to have had $4.5 million in debt on his salary. I don't know what he was getting paid, but it wasn't Ohtani money. But that's the kind of bet that I hear like Floyd Mayweather makes. Floyd Mayweather is like the highest paid athlete of all time. Those are the kind of bets that guys that are in a whole different tax bracket are making. And for him to say, oh, I made this bet, and then Ohtani, we sat down and talked, and he was a little bit upset about it, but he paid it for me. Ooh, that just sounds very, very strange to me. Like, maybe they talked together and said, we think Buffalo beat Kansas City, make bet, and I'll pay for it. You know, that's
yeah.
I don't know. And there's just not a lot of information yet to give a full opinion. I'm just of the opinion that sounds very, very suspicious, very, very silly, very sneaky.
It's like every 30 minutes you're hearing something different. Every 30 minutes you're hearing something different. And it's kind of just like, okay, now, does Ohtani have the gambling habit? Does his interpreter have the gambling habit? Okay, so, and Ohtani trusted this person that much to where they can just, okay, his access to the bank account. Now we're stealing. Somebody got fired. It's too many, you know, you're juggling too many balls in the air, too many plates spinning, and nothing. You're throwing stuff to the wall, and it seems like every instead of hoping something's sticking, everything's sticking, but everything on the stick is not really, it's not quite adding up. Because I remember you was, you kind of broke it down in a group chat, Scotty D. You said, all right, something about this is, it, the math ain't mathing and the sense ain't sensing. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
The biggest thing that stood out to me, because like I said, I was going to do it as a pepper point, because it's like, dude, you have one, that was my initial thought, like, you have one job.
Yeah.
You're the interpreter for the richest baseball player in the world. You have to translate English to Japanese and Japanese back to English.
Yeah.
That's one of the, I mean, kudos to all the people that are bilingual, multilingual, because that's not easy. Mm-mm. But to be, man, longtime friend, you got one job. And you screw that up, I was going to make jokes about that. But then the more the story came out, I'm like, oh, we got a fall guy here. He's like, hey, you know what?
Sounds like it.
You know what? I'm gonna need you to take this L for me. I got you on the back end. Don't even worry about it. You gonna still be taken care of. And no, player. Not this day's media, because they would. Once you start throwing that amount of dollar figures to anybody, guess what? There's gonna be somebody covering everything that you do. I don't want to be that rich. I want to be semi-rich, where people still leave me alone, but I can just take a couple trips every now and again. I don't need nine figures. I'm not going to turn it down, but I don't, you know what I'm saying?
I just want to, I'm looking at the Powerball. I'm looking at Mega Millions, and I'm looking at Ohtani's contract. I'm like, if I can get maybe...
Just give me just seven figures, maybe eight. Maybe I'll take eight.
Just give me 10%. I'm all right. Give me 5, because 10%, I'm gonna lose my mind. Go ahead.
I want an RV that has.
Guys, can we talk about sports?
My bad.
I'm sorry.
I know we're the fantasy spending right now, but
yeah, just.
I think people are listening to find out of our opinions about.
Thanks, guy. But like I said, I think I want a tiny portion of that. But yeah, man, it's just it's just crazy. This is crazy that it comes to this with Ohtani and sports betting. See, when we start talking about money, we just start drifting. Like,
yeah, man, we were way off the track.
Amtrak the hell out of this thing, Eddie Cool.
No, because I'm thinking what happened, B-Live. I was going to make it real short, then you started, and I'm thinking about Mega Millions, Powerball, sports, money.
He was on the boat with you. You had him on the boat with you.
And I couldn't jump
off. You had him on a trip.
Hey, look. I'm not that dude in Alabama that jumped off the boat and got to swim to the dock. No, that wasn't me, bro. I can't do all that. I'm not swimming to no train. I can't do all that. So, yeah, I hope this situation. But like B-Live said, with Ohtani's interpreter, you got one job. You have to make sure the translation is proper and clear. Somehow, some way, somebody got a gambling habit. When it comes to gambling, we all know that, hey, it can cost you some things, as Pete Rose, who should be reinstated at this point in time. It's a lot. It's just a whole lot going on. So
now we're all curious, especially when you mention Pete Rose. How is Major League Baseball going to respond? Because we all are watching.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. Don't you dare try to sweep this under the rug. We want to know. Put Pete Rose in the hall. About that time. Give Reggie Bush his Heisman
bag. Yeah.
Put Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame. These are things that we are watching, because times have changed. Yeah. Major League Baseball, have you? Yes, sir.
And with that being said, fellas, that's been the Spirit first half of the Sports Wars podcast. Looking at my phone, because y'all know I'm just a little too lazy to get a watch. Guess what time it is?
What time is it? What time is happening?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It's time once again for our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. With that being said, hey, yo, button, hit it. Choices of the Voices coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
And now, our favorite part of the show, The Choices of the Voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful and
ever so lovely
Miss Button for introducing our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. And you know how we do it. We ask you a question, you give us the answer, and we read it right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Yeah, as another reminder, if you win the brackets, you get to come hang out with us for a little bit here on the Sports Bros Podcast. But make sure when you come up here, you act like you got some sense, all right? Please, that's all we ask for. It's a word I'm looking for, but have that in you, all right? And with that being said, Scotty D, what's on tap for this week's Choices of the Voices?
We asked you to share with us, which part of March Madness do you like the best? The buzzer beaters, the upsets, the Cinderella runs, the powerhouses battling it out, all that stuff. All that stuff is packaged into one, but what's your favorite part? Eddie Cool, what did it tell us?
Would it be wrong if I said I liked all of it? But anyways, it's not about me right now. It's about our listeners, all right? The best name in the game, JoJo Comfort, he said, I've always loved the upsets and deep runs by the Cinderellas. A lot of those teams don't get a great deal of national coverage slash hype through the season, and it's amazing to watch them shine and show the nation how good they are because everyone loves an underdog. Yep, that is
We don't have too many of those. So, I mean, we had a couple in the first round, but it's pretty much the teams that we know that are in the second round right here. Like what we were talking about before, we didn't even know where Oakland University was at. had to figure that out on the show. But yeah, Cinderella is always a beautiful thing. But yeah, what else did the people tell us? What's happening?
Our Hall of Famer Uncle Max, he says, I love big time upsets. To me, that's what makes the tournament exciting. Like Yale beating Auburn. I'm pretty sure you love that for his own reasons.
Yep, it's very much so him being an Alabama fan. And my bracket, I picked Auburn to go to the Final Four, but I digress. I apologize. God bless him. I'm good.
We have no one has correct brackets. No one whatsoever. All right, last but not least, Tony Bogan, TB, he says, the Cinderella stories have been my favorite part of the March Madness. They've been happening quite a bit since 2020, so it's nice to see, even at the expense of my brackets. You're right, Tony, it's at the expense of all of our brackets. Matter of fact, he hit me up the other day, and I think, Sunday? He said, man, I don't know what you're doing, but this Middle Tennessee State and LSU game, those girls was on the ropes. Yeah, Middle Tennessee State had the Lady Tigers on the ropes, but they've won, and Kim Mulkey had a fiery, was it pregame press conference? Anyways, we'll talk about that at a later time. So shout out to Uncle Max, Tony Bogan, and the best name of the game, JoJo Comfort, for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. Scotty D, don't you like all of it, don't you?
I love it all. But I am not going to pretend that I love the underdog Cinderella stories. I don't love them. I mean, they're cute for like 5 minutes, but look at the conversation we just had a few minutes ago where B-Live is like, look at all these good matchups we got coming. Well, they're the result of all teams that either are the 11th seed ACC champion or higher facing off with one another. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the good teams, the best teams, battle it out. You know, it's cute whenever Northern Iowa knocks off Kansas. That happened years ago. But I couldn't tell you who Northern Iowa played and probably lost to the following week. You know, you don't see very many VCUs or George Masons go all the way into the Final Four. You usually see what we had this past week. Oakland knock off Kentucky, ruin everybody's bracket, and then fade off after one game. I want to see North Carolina play Alabama because those two teams were the top. They were in the top of the conversation all season long. Illinois, Iowa State, what a good matchup that could end up being. You know, I don't have to watch FAIUAI, whatever Florida team is hot for this week play and know that they're going to just get beat the following week or Loyola of Chicago or Baltimore County, Maryland, or any of those. And, you know, those are all fun little wins for like 5 minutes. But then the next week, are you going to really tune in to watch those teams play again? Are you going to make it a point? Or are you going to say, man, I want to, Duke and North Carolina, they're meeting in the Final Four. That's awesome. That's what I want to see. So that's what I like to see. I like to see the best teams rise to the top and play one another. And that's kind of what we're getting this year. To me, that's more exciting than watching an underdog slip into the Sweet 16. And you know they have no chance to go to the Elite Eight or Final Four.
Scotty D, which one of the Florida colleges is it again? What's the name of it?
I think it was UFAIUFA. I don't know.
F-low, B-low.
That's kind of like, what is it? IUPUI?
Yeah.
I see a thing on the bottom too, like IUPU. What's the name of this team? Somebody tell me.
Indiana University of Pennsylvania. What does IUPUI stand for again, Scott? Didn't you go there or something like that?
No, there's two different schools. There is an IUP here in Pennsylvania, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. They played my alma mater, Cal U, and Slippery Rock and Shippensburg. Those are all like the Pennsylvania Division II schools that we played. But that IUPUI, that's a whole other different entity.
In Indiana University. Be live, what you got? No, I'm not about. I just smelled smoke. Go ahead. What you got, be live? Damn that! I smelled smoke. No.
I stand on the other side of the spectrum when it comes to March Madness than what Scotty D opines upon. Yes, I love the big time matchups. Like I said, I'm very excited about the Sweet 16. That comes with the territory for the most part. We're going to get that eventually. The cream always rises to the top. Last year, we had one of the craziest Final Fours that we've ever seen. San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, Miami, and Connecticut. But at the end of the day, it was Connecticut. And Connecticut was by far the better of those four teams. Mm-hmm. So it cream rises to the top at the end of the day. Me, I'm all for the nuance. I'm for those little small stories that you only hear during March Madness. What was it that Yale's band couldn't make it? Mm-hmm. And so what was it? Iowa State?
Yeah, Iowa State, yeah.
They learned Yale's fight song and was able to play it for it. It's like, those are the stories that are like, I like.
That's a good one. I like that.
So those are the stories that like, Jack Golke, that these are stories that he's only shot 8 2-pointers. Like, those are the stories. Like,
good story.
Who would have known about Cousinard unless he just happened to get paired against his former team and then goes lights out? I haven't heard of him all year. I mean, there's so many teams that it's so hard to keep track of. But once you pack them into the field of 68, all of these nuanced stories come out. You hear about the unbelievable run and stuff like that. What NC State has done is, and still doing, is remarkable. Those stories you only get. You don't get anywhere else in any other sport, and even the entity of a sport, until March Madness. And it's the terminology right there. It's madness. And I'm here for those stories. I'm here because at the end of the day, as much as we're watching and they're talking about ratings and all these commentators and analysts trying to pick these brackets and odds makers and betting and all this stuff, these are still 18 to 25 year old kids. I had to put that 25 out there because some of these kids have been playing for 6-7 years. I mean, we're still not out of the pandemic time yet, so 6 year of eligibility and stuff like that. And here's something else. The average age of North Carolina's basketball team, 22 and a half years old. The average age of NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder, 22.8. Like, literally.
Wow. Yeah.
These are the stories that you see and stuff like that. So, hey, and John Calipari finally admitted that his teams are too young. That is methodology and the one and dones are not faring him too well. So a change may be on the horizon. Eddie Koo, what say you?
Boy, that press, was it that post-game interview? Watch him. I'm like, ooh, he is just.
Oh, he hurt.
Yeah, he just, yeah. Somebody took his soft batch cookies and ran clean off with him. I ain't going to lie to you. I like hearing these stories about the players. That's what I like. Like Cousinard. Go back a little bit. Like Jimmer Fredette. What's the kid that was at Ole Miss and he was a pest? God, I saw him the other day. His stories about him and guys like what's the guy from North Carolina State? DJ Burns, who's bringing bully ball back to the forefront. Yeah, dish it to the big man. 1-2, the guy goes flying. 2 points. Yeah. Because I always been a style of that doggone style of ball. But yeah, just hearing the individual stories and then like, I'm kind of like B-Live to hearing the nuances of like how these players overcame things in their life and how they got to this point and how they work hard and you know, like the Jack Golkies and the DJ Burnses and the Jimmy Fredettes. Hell, even the whole story of Florida Gulf Coast University, Lob City, not IUPU, AUTUCUGU and all them. But yeah, those are stories that I like. You get to see it, and then who knows? This might be the one time you see these players, and that's it.
Right.
Like Jimmy Fredette tried to be in the NBA. I think he's still trying now, and you know, DJ Burns is still doing his thing, and you know, Golkie's
Jimmer.
Like, the Jimmer.
Jimmer.
Yeah.
That's what you need to know about why he's not going to be successful
with
in the NBA.
With
he's
that
called
name.
Jimmer.
He said the name.
That the name Jimmer, that just he's more likely to be in the chorus.
What was my dude from Gonzaga, Morrison? What was his name?
Adam Morrison.
He tried, but his name was all over the. I mean,
he was doomed. He was it was between him and Redick pretty much for player of the year. And when Gonzaga was down 3 points at the end of the game, he sat in the middle of the floor and cried, and the game wasn't over. Come on, crybaby. Get up and go play basketball. The game wasn't over, and he's sitting in the middle of the floor crying while the game was still not even decided. He never had a chance.
Oh, the guys,
my 18 to 25-year-olds. These are kids.
The guy's name
with a bad mustache.
Yeah, oh my God. The guy's name from Ole Miss, Marshall Henderson. He was doing the whole nan nanny boo boo and everything, and from Ole Miss, and you know, just little, you know, villains and stuff like that. Just the fun part of basketball. All right, fellas. With that being said, Scotty D, what's on tap for next week's Choices of the Voices?
It's okay to cry, just not while the game is still in the balance. I mean, if you still have a chance to win, sit there and cry. Wait till it's over and then cry your eyes out. That's perfectly acceptable. Okay. So anyway, this is going to be next week. Our topic can go hand in hand with what we are going to be talking about during the show. Next week, we're going to talk about the upcoming baseball season. And so we're going to ask you, our listeners, fans, writers, who do you think will win the World Series this year, or any other predictions you just would like to throw out about the upcoming 2024 season? If you want to predict it, give us a nugget, tell you guys some inside information, give us that and your World Series prediction. We're going to talk about probably our division champions predictions, and then we'll save our World Series pick for the Choices of the Voices, so we'll kind of all do that together next week, and that'll give us plenty to talk about next week there, Eddie. Cool.
Yep, it's that time of the year we go from college basketball to baseball, and I think Scotty D, your favorite league, the UFL, starts its season this week.
Ooh. how did that slip past the calendar?
March 30th.
Yeah.
And to think I wasted all my energy on basketball and the fact that opening day is coming for the Pirates.
Yep, opening day is coming. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I forgot that March had a bunch of extra days in it. I'm not going to lie to you, because I was like, damn, we got a whole another week, and then it's March 31st. But
if I'm not mistaken, Major League Baseball season is already officially underway.
They had the Soul Series.
Yeah.
Those games counted, right?
Those two games did count, I do believe. Yeah. I believe it was only two games.
Mm. Yeah, the Dodgers and was the Angels.
Padres and Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, and go ahead and chalk that up as another dumb thing that happens in the world of sports.
That's a future topic for Choices of the Voices. Dumb things of sports.
Here's an idea. Before the season starts, let's go to another country and play two games, count them, and then go back and finish spring training. Let's do that. Come on, dude. I mean, that's.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was scratching my head because I was looking at it. I'm like, wait a minute. Where are the preseason? Those games count?
Yeah.
Real quick before we hop into Pepper, let's ask Greg Olson what he thinks about baseball having a two-game series in Korea and then going back to spring training. And then, Greg, what are your thoughts on this, Greg?
I thought it was brilliant. When it comes down to the pennant race in October, we're going to look back and circle those two games as key matchups on the calendar. Brilliant strategy by baseball.
I love it.
Coming up next, B-Live grabbed that. Thank you, Greg. B-Live grabbed that pepper grinder, because coming up next, it's a round of pepper. And shout out to Greg Olson. He's not an unemployed, but he's over here on a freelance internship at the Sports Post Podcast. We'll be back after this.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
All right, you heard a woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But before we go, we got a round of pepper. Baby, you know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, entertain, educate, the four E's in no particular order, even though I got the last two mixed up. But that's neither here nor there, but I'll go first. On this day in history, Scotty D and B-Live, back in 1917, 100 plus years ago, the Stanley Cup Final in Seattle Ice Arena in Seattle, Washington. The Seattle Metropolitans of the Pacific Coast Hockey Association beat the Montreal Canadiens of the National Hockey League 9-1 for a 3-1 series victory, and the Seattle Metropolitans are the first team ever to win the Stanley Cup. Ain't that something? The first American team to beat the last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. Ain't that something? Over to you, Scotty D.
As you know, I've been busy with school. A lot of my brain power is focusing on my studies. So I have to give a shout out to CBS, because they have taken a lot of pressure off of myself by having to think through situations by providing Gene Steratore. Thank you, CBS, for having Gene Steratore make my mind up for me on whether this ball got tipped by this player or if the ball went out of bounds off of that player's foot, because we get a lot of that in the last minute of these NCAA games. A lot of times of officials going and then spinning the little thing backwards on the iPad and trying to figure out what the time was left. I love the way these super exciting games get brought to a screeching halt over and over again in the last minute of the game. And thankfully, instead of me making my mind up, I have Gene Steratore there to do that for me. B-Live, over to you.
Damn, Gene Steratore does basketball too?
He does it all.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Listen, I wasn't even sure the other night if I should put my socks in the dryer with the colors, and I had an AI Steratore available for me to give me that information. So, a deep fake.
That is one thing about college basketball that is sort of – the last minute of a college basketball game is the longest.
Half hour.
I'm telling you. Foul, free throw. Oh, let me review this. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So.
Put 2 seconds back on the clock.
Oh, Lord. Well, we've been talking a lot about basketball, and you see two of us here in our orange and everything. Who is we? The hell? Well, Clemson has been doing big things on the baseball field as well.
It was Dabo.
No. All roads do lead to
Dabo. It's all because of Dabo.
Jesus Christ. We had a juggernaut matchup this weekend between number 3 Clemson and number 7 Florida State. And man, oh man, Clemson never says die. Game 2 of a doubleheader, actually. Clemson was down 9-1. Going into the bottom of the ninth inning. And all Clemson did was score 9 runs to take over the game.
Can't stop us.
You need to be stopped. You don't let me get through this. They scored 9 runs. They scored 9 runs in the bottom of the ninth to overtake Florida State. And then game 3, they were down 11-2. And then they decide to have a 5-run sixth inning, a 6-run seventh inning, capped by Blake Wright's go-ahead grand slam. He had a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth in game 2, and then had a grand slam in game 3 to put
Clemson
on top 14-12, completing the sweep. And the rankings came out today. Clemson is now the number two team in the nation when it comes to baseball. Hey, Stan, my Arkansas fan that listens to the show, Stan, we're coming for that number one spot.
We're going to be one.
Call me Luda.
We coming, baby.
Arkansas is number one. Clemson is number two. Eddie Coop, the ball.
Make sure I take a shower after this because I just feel just disgusting. All right. Going on to my, you know what, congratulations, because we've been on top of the baseball world for quite some time. Clemson Ace, congratulations to you. Just A's like this. As far as I'm concerned, we just.
Thank you.
As far as I'm concerned, let's keep everything in-state and in-house. All right. They got to come through the state of South Carolina to come get this championship. All right. And I love it. And I love every single moment.
Appreciate that. Appreciate
all right. That. All right. So. The Raiders, of course, you know they got a head coach by the name of Antonio Pierce, a players coach, a man of the people, if you will. And in a recent article on CBS, he says, you know what? Aiden O'Connell, he deserved the right to compete for the starting job in 2024. Now, the article goes as following. Las Vegas Raiders are a logical candidate to target quarterback in the 2024 draft, even after signing veteran Garner Minshew, a.k.a. the Uncle Rico of the National Football League. No matter what the team does next, however, head coach Antonio Pierce believes incumbent Aiden O'Connell will compete for 2024 starting job, telling NFL Network this Sunday. The 25-year-old has earned the right. And Pierce says, in quote, at the end of the day, listen, Aiden O'Connell played his ass off. As he says in the fourth round, he did a hell of a job for us. You're talking about a kid that has the mental toughness to play in the National Football League. Whatever happens and whatever we do, it has to go through Aiden O'Connell. I'm being honest with you because he has earned the right. All right, now, O'Connell started 10 or 12 games as a rookie out of Purdue, throwing 12 touchdowns, the 7 interceptions, while helping the Raiders go 5-5 to close out the year. Yeah, don't let that mustache fool you because the boy is balling. They got an interesting quarterback room. They got Uncle Rico, Gardner Minshew, and just take no prisoners. I come to do my job. Aiden O'Connell was 25 years old. So it should be exciting to see what goes on in Vegas. Over to you, Scotty D.
Happens in Vegas.
Stays in Vegas.
But not really.
No. It does not.
So part of the process of watching this March Madness tournament and beyond Gene Steratore that I really like is the fact that you go – to halftime or post game, and you get Barkley and Kenna and Erna. And a great example was when Grand Canyon blew it against Alabama. And after the game, Barkley said that was one of the dumbest games he's ever seen coach. I love that stuff. I love how Barkley just brings the realness, says what the fans will say. He's always been great. That panel's great. You know, Kenny I think they add a lot to March Madness. The one thing I got to tell you though is I think Capital One is running out of ideas because the commercials that they are running now, they may need a new writing crew because they got these guys looking silly. Stop with the Capital One commercials. I'll just go back to basics on that. But shout out to Barkley and Kenny and Erna. Be live over to you.
Oh, man, I do love that panel. Shaq said he's going to sit this one out. Do we know who the fourth guy is? Is it Clark Kellogg this
year?
Yeah.
Okay. He's good. He's good, too.
Absolutely. All right, my second pepper point. All of this madness that we've been talking about, we seem to forget about the professional side of things in the NBA because – you're getting into the thick of things. They're around about 70 games in, 12 games to go. And it was almost a foregone conclusion where there was enough of a divide between the top 10 teams in each conference. 10 play-in tournament. Jesus. But with that being said, it is what it is. And the Golden State Warriors, they were cruising until they weren't because – the Houston Rockets said, hold my beer. They are rocketing their way to trying to get that last play-in spot. They've won 8 games in a row, 9 out of the last 10, and they are only a game behind the Golden State Warriors. Can you imagine, again, NBA playoff without Steph Curry?
Unthinkable.
Yeah. And the way the money man, Scotty D, is so into what's interesting as opposed to actual good basketball, it would be devastating to his heart to see the stars not make it. There's a passing of the guard. The younger players are in. Your Shai Gilgeous-Alexanders, your Anthony Edwards. These are the players that are the future of the NBA, and I am here for Jason Tatum and Boston. Good Lord, unstoppable. They are 11 games up on second place Milwaukee. Boston has already clinched playoff berth. Have they clinched the conference? They clinched the division, and they're literally a game away from clinching the number one seed and home court advantage. Eddie, cool. The ball.
Third and final pepper point. Jordan Love says, "You know what? I think we got a chance at the Super Bowl." The young man might be feeling himself. So, in an article by Suzanne Hallen Burton, Jordan Love and his Packers teammates got a taste of wild success back in January when they dominated the Cowboys and nearly upset the 49ers during their improbable playoff run. And it was supposed to be a transition kind of season. Now Love and the Packers are brimming with confidence. Sure, it's only late March. We're only months away from starting the NFL. But Jordan Love says, it's a great feeling, man. It's on the Pivot Podcast. We're all very hungry for this upcoming year. And like you said, the confidence from the top to the bottom is there. The organization believes that it's the perfect time to have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year. Ooh-wee. You just gave the rest of the NFC some bulletin board materials, but it's time. It's time, Jordan Love. You sat behind long enough. You're a high draft pick. You've learned. Now it's time to shine. Over to you, Scotty D.
He shone pretty good in Dallas last year in the playoffs. So this is one of those things with the Masters coming up in just a couple weeks that came across one of my feeds. And I believe that this is correct information, but Gary Player, legendary golfer, played in 52 Masters. 52 Masters. That's a lot. That's a whole couple careers worth. Man. The first one he played, there was a guy named Jock Hutchison, who was a major winner. He won a couple majors, but this man was born in 1884. The last time Gary Player played in the Masters was 2009, and he played with Rory McIlroy, who was born in 1989. Gary Player played in the Masters with two players that were born 105 years apart. Just one of those things I thought, that's kind of a cool little situation. Talk about like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. This is one big giant degree of Gary Player where he linked Jock Hutchison, born in 1884, with Rory McIlroy, born in 89. A tradition unlike any other, the Masters on CBS. Be live. I'm done.
I'm glad you're done because I'm almost done as well. Third and final pepper point. The women's bracket, NCAA, do better because there are three big teams, South Carolina, Iowa, LSU. Iowa is in a collision course with LSU in the Elite Eight because Iowa and LSU are in the same region. Wow. How? That you had one job and you couldn't even do that. I'm out of here. Do better.
And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They'll greatly appreciate it. Now, more than ever, be a blessing and not a burden. It's been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. Be live. Take us home.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening, and as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.